Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I'd like to do a commentary on day one. The Bible verses are Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And it says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And again, that is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I remember when I was in secular program, they would tongue-in-cheek describe the attic. They would call it the attic. As anyone, they were like an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. That was what they would often say. You know, we were egomaniacs with an inferiority complex, and so I can definitely identify that because I would go from one extreme to the other. Where I would think I was all that, and I had to get the world in order, and I would get my little ducks in a row and get all my little plans going, and I seemed like I was successful. And then down the line, I would come crashing down because my emotions were like that. They were one extreme to the other. Thinking, you know, I was that big ego, and then the other end, thinking that nobody was as bad as I was. I had that inferiority complex, and that was my life a lot. Some successes by the world standards, but most of the time people did not know the desperation that I was feeling in my heart. And I definitely went to food as a way to try to cope with that. And it became like, a hurtful habit at first. It was just, I would get fat and then I would go on a diet, and I could diet in those days. I could lose weight, and then everybody would do their oohing and aahing, and then next thing I know, I was eating again, and I would put the weight back on, and that was, I didn't realize then that that was the nurturing of the besetting sin that eventually took me out, because when I got, right before I went into secular recovery, I was so desperately desperate. I shouldn't say it wasn't right before, because when I went into secular recovery, my focus still was on the weight. I wanted my outside, I didn't care what I had to do to make that outside look good. I would, if I had to starve myself or whatever, or exercise myself to death or whatever, it was the outer, the outer, the outer. And that is just the opposite that I found was the secret, which was God's way. God's way is not the outer. He even tells in the book of Samuel, it says that man looks on the outer, but God looks at the heart. And I had a impure heart. All human beings have that when they come. We come into the world with an impure heart because of the sins of our forefathers that we still will stay under until we get the freedom from Jesus. And God wants us to have that freedom. Believe me. He wants us to give our life to Jesus. He has done this wonderful thing. Jesus is God who took on the form of a man so that he could become that perfect lamb The Bible lets us know that without the shedding of blood, we don't have forgiveness. So if we want forgiveness, we do have to have bloodshed in doing that. And in the Old Covenant, it was that perfect lamb. In this new covenant, it is acceptance of what Jesus has done for us. And you would think that people would be clamoring to do that. But this is the big caveat, is that as human beings who are lost, our pride is huge. We are prideful people. And sometimes we can see it, sometimes we don't. But our pride is like, I've even heard people say to me, this is people who are dying in their sins. And they say, I don't want, don't think about nobody dying for me. I don't need anybody to die for me. Otherwise, what they're saying is that I can do it. I got this. And they don't think of a God as a sin bearer. But those of us who have come to know the truth about Jesus as our sin bearer are so grateful, you know, that we know that. And I'm here to tell you that he will take care of every sin, even those sins that cling to us, like a besetting sin. The food is a besetting sin. And it's my belief that, and my understanding is that, you know, we're not unique in having a besetting sin. It's just that ours is different. The thing that is different, it can show up as pride. Pride is a besetting sin. So is lust and anger and greed and jealousy and all the whole gamut of addictions, food addiction, gambling, drinking, drugging, sex. All of those are all besetting sin. And bitterness and unforgiveness, that's a besetting sin. Because it's persistent, it's personal, it's habitual, it's entangling. But God is bigger. He's bigger. And so he wants me to keep growing in my faith, keep growing in the knowledge and love of the one who saved me. And this is why I stay in his word. And so this word from his word is the type of thing that stands me up and moves me forward. And this word here says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's calling me. He's calling you. Every day he wants excellence, as it says in that 1 Peter 2, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so if you're on today and you might be doing what I used to do, I used to eat before I got in a meeting. Somebody said, balling up the bag right before I walked into the door. That was when they had so many face-to-face meetings, and I would do that. When I was in OA, just ball up the bag, get to a meeting, but I struggled until I really became serious and passionate about Jesus Christ. This is why Paul writes here that we strain toward what is ahead. We are passionate about the things of the Lord. You know, I told you before, my husband, he likes sports. He's not an avid sport watcher, but he definitely has his things that he likes to watch, and baseball seems to be one. I think that's probably his top sport, and most of you know this is, some of you may not know, but if you have any others in your household that are like that too, you know this is the World Series, and So all of the, you know, it has dwindled down to two baseball teams that are sort of fighting it out to see who is going to be the winner, who's going to be the champ, who's going to be the greatest in that. And, yeah, we can, you know, look at those sports people and how they are so, there's a passion. I mean, the people who come to see these games, I was walking, okay, I came into the room and I saw a picture of the stadium. I went, what? You know, because it was so big and it was so crowded. And my husband, when he quoted how much those seats cost, I went, are you kidding? And but it was like packed with people. So as in our flesh, we know how to get passionate about stuff. I can tell you a history of passion. I was passionate about food. I can tell you when the restaurants were that had quote-unquote good food. I had recipes, books that were all over the place, you know, trying to get that magic muffin, that taste that was going to take away all of my troubles. I looked for that taste and looked to be able to have it without the repercussion of having be overweight, and it didn't work, it didn't happen. I cannot serve two masters, the Bible tells me that. Either I will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. That's Matthew 6. But Matthew 5 also has an important admonition for me too. Matthew 5:29-30 says this, if your right hand causes you to sin, you cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And so this is what I've learned about getting over the besetting sin of food. What have I learned? And you know, in that we talk about it every time in the introduction. I cannot eat randomly and impulsively anymore. I can't. I don't care if I just decide, oh, I'm just not going to eat certain types of food. But whenever I get the urge to have that food, I'll just have it. That did not work. I chased that dream until the end of time, almost, you know, to the end of what it brought me to. That I had to surrender to what other people before me had found out. That since we have to eat every day, we must be disciplined in our eating. And it used to be when I was in the secular rooms, we would say over and over again, I'm powerless over food. And part of that was to try to get us dependent on, you know, the group, each other. We got to stay in the group or we're going to go eat and whatever. Like I said in the beginning, yes, we do need people to help us. We don't need the same people all the time. We obviously don't. But we do need people who are going to remind us that, like what we said in that Matthew 26:41, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to be able to see that craziness coming. And since we have to eat every day, I have found, and this has kept me abstinent for over 37 years now. And what I have found is this, you know, that I do need to have a plan of eating, because part of the problem is the obsession about the food too. You know, obsess, obsess, obsess. Do I eat this? Don't I eat this? No, wait a minute. Maybe I should have had that. No, I didn't have that. Oh, wait a minute. I only had that much. I wonder if when I go there, am I going to eat? Am I going to find out what they have? the obsession, that's part of the problem too. And so I find, again, having that commitment to a plan of eating, I call it a God-given plan of eating. He has given it to me, and I don't throw it in his face. I get up each morning. I thank him for the willingness to follow that plan yesterday, and I pray for the willingness to follow it today. I've done too much experimenting on what it's like to try to eat randomly and impulsively. And I also have a commitment to portion control, because I don't want my body out of shape, meaning that I'm not a gym fanatic trying to chisel my body into shape. My body actually is pretty good in keeping itself with a minimum of exercise. You know, I don't need to even do, I'm finding personally, no more than 30 minutes of walking a day. And even I don't do that every day, but it does help me to stay fit. But the big thing is that I do need to watch my portion control of food, because it does trigger. It can trigger me going into a binge in that. And so I surrender to that. I also surrender to having help on a one-on-one basis. I have a food sponsor, and I have had one all these 37 years that I have been abstinent now. And then it's not the same person. Along the way, I've had people for long periods of time, but for whatever reason, either they went their way, or they dropped me, or whatever, or they went back into the food, a few of them, and I had to find someone. That I do know about a sponsor is that it needs to be someone who is also committed to being out of the food, committed to doing that one day at a time, and can strengthen me and can see, help me to see how important it is for me to be clear and clean and committed regarding my food. But the last thing I just want to say is, let's say you messed up and you haven't been abstinent. Think about this last thing of the things that I have learned, the prayer part, how important it is to pray. Pray. I shared with someone, you know, if you're antsy, anxious, whatever, ask the Lord, talk to him. Talk to him early and often. Talk to him and let his word chisel your prayer, show you what to be praying for, how you are to pray. And he will turn things around. He can turn things around so quickly. It's amazing. He can get your food squeaky clean. And you can have years and years back-to-back abstinent. He's not a respecter of persons. He really isn't. If he did it for me, believe me, he can do it for you. And this is what the prayer again says, you know, Father, I thank you for all that you have given to me. He's given me eternal life. Thank you for all that you have planned for my life. He has set me free from the burden of sin. And so I don't want to run into a stronghold of sin. Help me not to be afraid. Give me faith to trust you, your love for me, and that you love me. And you want me to succeed. God wants me to succeed. He wants you to succeed. Give me strength to follow your call to my heart. And I do. I don't care how long I've been abstinent before. I want it today. I do. And I cannot do that without the Lord. So I cry out for the willingness and strength to press on. He has victory for me. Not only in terms of the eating, but in terms of using my giftedness to help others to come to know him. And that's a wonderful way to live. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.